Amen. So sorry I didn't have my microphone on, but if you didn't hear it, you heard it in my prayer. Andy, 90 years. Praise God for that. Amen. We're going to turn to Matthew 18 this morning. It's Freedom Session Sunday, and you've seen a video, you've had a testimony that you can read. And now this morning, what we're going to do in turning to this scripture passage is really look at a theme that is really central to the Freedom Session journey. And so think of this morning in one way as a bit of a Freedom Session appetizer. And we hope and pray that God would touch you through the message this morning of forgiveness. Andrea's going to read the text for us, Matthew 18, 21 to 35. You can follow along on the screen or your pew Bible.
So together, let us hear the word of the Lord. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart."
Let's talk this morning about forgiveness. And let's begin this morning by just naming things that are true about our experience of life. What are some things that are true? Not all these things are going to be true for everybody, but I suspect by the time we're done, some of this will be true for all of us. What's true? People have let you down. People promise things. People said they'd do things, they didn't do them, they didn't come through. Not only that, but people have actively said things about you or to you that cut deep and hurt. See, you're not just a sinner in this life, you live as one who is sinned against. You don't just go around slighting other people slight you. It's not just that some people rub you the wrong way, guess what, you also rub other people the wrong way. But for some people, it goes even deeper than these daily rubs. Some of you have been wounded deeply by other people. Or we might even put it this way. Some of you have been wounded deeply by life. For some, it was circumstances beyond your control. In your childhood or teen years, people did things to you that should have never been done. People said things to you that pierced your soul and left a deep wound. And for some of you, it's been life. Things have happened that you had no control over. Loved ones have died. Parents have divorced. People have walked out of your life and left you wounded and confused. Some of you were born into families that were not equipped to take care of you. Your trust was betrayed by the adults in your life that should have looked after you. You had to walk in situations that nobody should have to face, and it's not fair. Some of you never heard a parent say, "I love you." That wasn't fair either. You weren't validated. You started to believe that you weren't lovely, that you weren't lovable, that you were not enough. And for some of you, if you're honest, the biggest culprit in all of this has been God. God didn't come through. God didn't show up. And not only that, but it seemed as if God stood by and allowed awful things to happen to you and to those that you love. Now, I would never, ever, ever want to stand up here this morning and minimize any of that pain. Some of you know my story better than others, and those who know my story a little better will know that already I probably resonated with just about everything that's been said. So I'm not going to minimize your experience of pain and woundedness. But I am here this morning as a preview into the Freedom Session journey to offer to you this good news that whatever's happened to you, whatever wounds that you carry around in your heart, they do not have to ruin the rest of your life. Whatever's happened to you does not have to define you. Your past does not have to define and determine your future. And a key step in breaking free from the past and the wounds that we carry around in our hearts, a key step is forgiveness. That's why we want to look at that this morning. And we're going to look at a few dimensions of forgiveness, because forgiveness is like that. Maybe it's this morning a recognition that you need to forgive another person. We're going to look at that this morning. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do you do that? Maybe that other person is God. We're going to talk more about that. Or maybe you're here this morning and you'll begin to recognize that the person that you need to forgive the most is yourself. And we're going to look at that as well. Forgiving others, forgiving yourself, forgiving God, these are some of the most emotionally freeing decisions that you will ever make. And that's why we want to explore them this morning. They are a central piece in this Freedom Session journey. And so let's jump in this morning. We're going to begin by looking at this aspect of forgiveness, of receiving God's forgiveness of us, and learning in turn to forgive ourselves. So let's begin with the first part of the story, Matthew 18. Peter asks an innocent enough question: "Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone when they sin against me?" 7 times? Which is a pretty generous limit, forgiving someone 7 times. But Jesus' response surely would have caught Peter off guard. "No, Peter, not 7 times. And the translation we read said 77 times. Some say 70 times 7. It's not 100% clear in the Greek. But whether it's 77 times or 490 times, Jesus' point is not a math lesson. It's an idiomatic saying. It's an expression in that day to say forever. There's no limit. Always forgive, no matter what. And Peter is shocked. Of course, Jesus can see the shock on his face, and so he responds with this story about what forgiveness in the kingdom of God is like. And the story begins with this king who wants to settle accounts with his servant. And as he begins to do this, we're told that the servant owes him a debt that's astonishing, 10,000 talents. Now, anyone who would have heard that for the first time or read that as an ancient person would have either snickered or smirked, or depending on their personality type, would have just laughed out loud. Because it's an insane amount, 10,000 talents. Roughly $10 million. $10 million. And the servant's response is almost as ridiculous as the amount of money he owes. He falls on his knees. Just give me some time. I'll pay it back. Are you kidding me? You're not going to pay this back. There's no chance in the world he could pay it back. His reply is as ridiculous as his debt. He couldn't pay it back, no matter how long it would take. And it's also hard to imagine, how in the world did you accrue so much debt? We are talking about the ancient world. There's no credit cards. There's no online shopping. There's no Amazon. How do you accrue so much debt? So what's the point of this opening scene in the story? What's the point of this man's plea? He's desperate. He has no resources to pay back his debt. He has no hope. He just falls down and is at the mercy of his master. And do you see what happens? His master has pity on him and cancels the debt. His compassion, his generosity is shocking in the story. The debt is canceled. Or we could say he's forgiven. The master absorbs the cost. The master refuses to make the servant pay. And here, Jesus gives us a wonderful picture of what forgiveness looks like. An impossible debt is canceled. So let me ask you this morning, what kind of debt are you carrying around in your life? What kind of guilt continues to haunt you? What kind of shame keeps you and holds you back? What are you carrying this morning? And how did you run up such an impossible debt? How in the world are you ever going to pay it back? And the message that Jesus is trying to get through to us is that you're not going to pay it back. It's impossible to pay back. We're being invited to find ourselves in this story and to identify with this servant. We're being invited to see our desperate need to receive God's forgiveness. And of course, that begs the question, why? Why do we need to receive God's forgiveness and learn to forgive ourselves as a result? Let me offer you some reasons why. Why do we need to receive God's forgiveness? Because, I mentioned already the word, because of the guilt that we carry around in our hearts. Now, that's an unpopular thing to say today, that we are guilty, that we carry guilt around. And we try, and we'll talk about it, we try really hard to suppress that. No one wants to feel guilty. Guilt is a painful thing to feel. We will try to do anything to avoid feeling it, to rationalize it away, to not have to face it, to not have to come to terms with it. But the Bible offers this perspective on the human life, that when you, if you take an honest inventory of your life and you look at the people that you've let down, you look at the thoughts that have run through your mind that you know you're not proud of, you think about the things that have come out of your mouth, the things that you've done to other people, the things that you thought about doing, the things that remain in your heart, the things, the secrets that you've never told anyone, even the way you've hurt people, intentionally or not, unintentionally, all of that is accruing a massive debt. There's guilt. There's this nagging sense that all is not well with me, with you. And not only do we carry this guilt around in our hearts, but that guilt often drives us, if we don't deal with it, it drives us towards unhealthy attempts of escaping the pain. And we're really good at doing that. We blame others for our problems. We excuse our part away. Or we try to rescue other people to make us feel better about ourselves. Or, and Ken mentioned it in the video, we turn to all kinds of distractions. And we live in a society that's really good at distracting us from facing ourselves. And so we escape into all kinds of different things. We escape into alcohol, pornography. We escape by just simply withdrawing. We escape through food, through television, through shopping, through burying ourselves in our work, our hobbies. The list is long. Let me ask you this morning, what are you escaping to? And what's more, not only do we tend to do this, but this nagging sense of guilt that we're not at peace with ourselves often drives us to meet these unrealistic standards that we set for ourselves that we will never, ever attain. And when we don't attain those standards, we criticize ourselves. We try and promise to try harder next time. But have you ever stopped and asked yourself, why are you so hard on yourself? Why are you so hard on yourself? Why do you have such unrealistic expectations for yourself? Why do you keep promising yourself when you look in the mirror, I'll try harder next time? Why is the biggest person that you're disappointed with in life you? Often the pain of failing to meet our own standards also drives us to push other people in our lives to meet the same impossible standards. And then when they don't, and they're never going to. And then finally we find we have an outlet. So all the disappointment, all the frustration and resentment that we have towards ourselves, we unleash on those around us who fail to meet our expectations. Do you realize that one of the most difficult people in your life and at the same time one of the most important people in your life to make peace with is you, yourself? Do you see the price that you pay? Do you see the price that other people in your life pay when you're unable to forgive yourself? We're each carrying around in our hearts a debt that's impossible to pay. We're like this servant. What do we do with that debt? We can try to explain it away. We can find excuses. We can point to the way that we were raised, the amount of stress in our life, the abuse that we suffered, the ways other people have let us down. We can try to bury it. We can try to numb the pain with all that escaping behavior. And here's the invitation this morning. Or we can face the truth about ourselves and learn to experience God's forgiveness. And so let me ask the question, how do you make things right with yourself? How do you learn to receive forgiveness and make peace with yourself? And here I want to share with you a template, a resource that's offered in the Freedom Session course. You might have noticed this morning inside your bulletin that there was a purple piece of paper. Why don't you just take that out a moment? It looks like this. It's double-sided. One side says forgiving yourself. That's where we're at right now. The other side says forgiving others. So let's talk about how do you do this? How do you make peace with yourself? How do you know that you're living at peace with yourself? Well, first, a few things to keep in mind. We'll come to that paper in a minute. Receiving forgiveness is always preceded by confession. We saw that in Psalm 32 when we opened this morning. Right? When I was silent, my bones were aching. God's hand was heavy on me. But when I opened my mouth and confessed my sin, then I experienced forgiveness for my guilt. You see, receiving forgiveness is always preceded by confession. If you want to receive God's forgiveness, you have to first confess your sin and admit your guilt. You need to feel the guilt. No excuses, no blaming. It doesn't matter what other people did. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter what your parents did or didn't do to you. Honest confession is getting to the place where you say, I did this. I did it. It was wrong. I'm responsible. Confession is coming to the foot of the cross and saying, I owe a $10 million debt and I cannot pay it back. So receiving forgiveness requires confession. It also assumes that you're sorry for your sin. That there's a sense of remorse. You're ready to turn away from it. So you can't ask God with integrity to forgive you and receive that forgiveness into your heart. And if you're asking him to forgive you for something you're intending to keep doing, That just doesn't make any sense. So there's a turning away, a desire to turn away from the things that you're doing that are destroying your life and hurting others. But thirdly, receiving forgiveness requires you to become willing to forgive yourself. And that's where I want to drill down a little bit more this morning. See, Jesus actually had to die for you. And the only way you're going to learn to receive his forgiveness, the only way you're going to walk in that forgiveness and learn to forgive yourself is if you get yourself to the cross and realize, I cannot pay it back. I've got an impossible debt. And either I pay or Jesus pays. But learning to forgive yourself is getting to the point where you stop trying to pay yourself. You let Jesus pay the price because he did. He gave up his life for this impossible debt. What more could you possibly offer him? And so how do you do this? Here's a simple process. I put together a few slides. I also draw your attention to the purple paper. But a simple process, and it begins by asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the things in your life that you long to be forgiven for. Now let me just say one word of caveat here. You're getting a sample, a little thought about this morning's kind of a Freedom Session appetizer. When you take the Freedom Session journey, by the time you get to this point where you're doing this work, you've already spent a good amount of time wrestling with this question. You've spent weeks, in fact, with guided questions for reflection, asking the Holy Spirit to show you, inventorying your life, your hurts, your wounds, your behavior, and what's behind them. So I recognize we don't have the time to do all that this morning. But I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will still show you something. So ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you things in your life that you long to be forgiven for. Ways that you've hurt others. Things that you've done that nobody knows about. A lot of us walk through life with a closet. And we have stuff in the closet that no one knows about. We don't want to open that closet. If you're going to learn to forgive yourself, you've got to open the closet. Painful memories of things that you regret. Anything else that the Spirit brings to mind, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what you long to be forgiven for. And then pray this prayer. You have it with you in the purple piece of paper. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess I have fill in the blank for what you've done, and I need forgiveness. I can never pay the price for this sin, this mistake, or this failure. I am so sorry. Please forgive me for, and write it down again. I choose to turn from this sin and not return to it. For this, I will need your help, your strength, and a warning as soon as I begin to entertain temptation. Thank you that your death on the cross has paid my debt in full. And now, because you have forgiven me and paid the price for my sin, by faith I forgive myself for, and describe what you've done in the same way you did above. Fill in the blank. And I commit to no longer recalling it, reliving it, rehearsing it, or holding it against me. I realize others may not forgive me. Oops, sorry. Maybe I didn't put that on the slide. Sorry about that. On the purple paper, I didn't put that on the slide. I realize others may not forgive me, and I'm willing to live with their resentment, knowing you have forgiven me in full. I set myself free to live and embrace the future you have planned for me. I will no longer allow Satan to defeat me with the failures of my past. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me and helping me to forgive myself. I commend that step to you. And I urge you to spend time with the Lord this week. If any of this has resonated, ask him to show you something. Let me just share a brief story from my own life. I was into ministry for a number of years, into church planting. We were in Ontario, and our family was called to lead a church plant in the eastern part of downtown Hamilton, Ontario. Right around the time of that starting, there was a lot of turmoil in my family life that pretty much took me out of the game. And yet I tried to carry on, and I kept going, and I made lots of blunders and kind of started to make a mess of things, quite frankly. So that didn't go super well, and that haunted me for a long time. The sense that I had failed as a pastor, as a church planner. And when I learned to do what I've just shared with you this morning, there was a burden that was lifted from my life, a shadow that was cast, and it had a long shadow that was lifted, and a freedom and a healing that God brought into my life, and so that I could stop living with this heavy weight of feeling like a failure and recognizing I'm forgiven. And God wants me to walk in that freedom. And I had to learn to forgive myself. And I'm pretty confident, I can say this with confidence, I didn't learn to do that. Not sure I'd still be in the game. Probably would have never made it out to Maple Ridge, BC. And so I commend you, if this is resonated at all, do the hard work of learning to forgive yourself. And as I'm going to say at the end of the sermon, I'm going to say in the middle, if any of this resonates, sign up for Freedom Session. Come out Wednesday night. Take the challenge. Just try 9 weeks. And hey, if it doesn't make any difference, you heard what Ken said. He'll pay you back. You can probably guess how many times he's had to pay people back. None. But take him at the challenge. So let's turn the corner now and look at the second part of this story and a second dimension of forgiveness. So, and they're connected. You know, if we don't learn to forgive ourselves, we alluded to this already this morning, it's really hard to extend grace to other people because all this resentment that we really have towards ourselves that we haven't learned how to deal with, it just leaks out and it comes out sideways and we're harder on other people and we have a hard time forgiving others. And that's exactly where this story goes next. That this servant really hadn't experienced the forgiveness. How do we know that? We look at what he does next in the story. He goes out, finds someone who owns a little bit of money. Nothing close at all to $10 million. Something that could have been paid off in a few months. Chokes the guy. Wants to kill him until he pays him back. See, there's something here for us. If according to God, we will never really be at peace with him, with ourselves, with other people until we learn to forgive others from our heart. And so what does it mean? What does it mean to forgive someone else from your heart? Well, let's be really clear what it's not. And if you're like me, you've tried all these. They didn't work. Forgiving someone from your heart is not forgetting what happened. All right, I tried that for years. Just try to forget it. Just try to suppress it. Every time it comes in your memory, just push it down. It doesn't go away. It's not what forgiveness is. It's not this sense that, well, I'm just going to try really hard not to let it bother me anymore. I'm just going to try to move on with my life. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not moving on. It's not trying hard not to let it bother you. Rather, forgiveness is an action verb. It's something you do. It's a choice you have to make. And it's always specific. Right? You're never forgiving something in general. It's specific people who did specific things that created specific hurts, specific wounds in your life. And it's that specific stuff that if you're going to forgive someone, you need to choose to do so. In the process of making that choice, and we'll talk more about this in a few minutes, it's a way of releasing the hurt and the bitterness that's in your heart. So again, I want to do something that's risky. I want to invite you and to think about and to ask the Holy Spirit to show you someone in your life that you need to forgive. Someone who's hurt you. Someone who's let you down. Someone who's did or said things that were wrong, things that hurt. I know you didn't have the last 6 weeks to do the homework, but I'm going to trust that God's still going to bring someone to mind. I mentioned this already this morning. As you think about that, As you ask God to show you, don't forget God. Don't forget God. Many of us harbor resentment towards God for the things that we think he should have done. God, why didn't you do this? Or the things that we thought God should have stopped from happening to us. And forgiving God is a way of releasing that bitterness towards him. So think about someone. Maybe it's God. And forgiving is, let me say something else about forgiveness, what it is. Forgiving is an emotionally difficult thing to do. So I'm not trying to minimize that. Because if you're going to forgive someone, you have to actually feel the pain that you're carrying around inside. You have to feel it. You have to, and sometimes you have to relive it if you're going to release it. So it's emotionally difficult. Yet, I will say it again, it's one of the most freeing things you can do in your life, to forgive somebody. Let me ask you another question. Who pays the debt for all that hurt that you carry around inside of you? From what others have done, from what God has done or not done. Remember the story that Jesus tells, the master pays the debt of the servant. And as ridiculous as that debt was, this servant goes out and what happens? He's unwilling. He's unwilling to forgive his fellow servant, meaning he's unwilling to cancel the debt. And what's he do? He's, you got to pay me. You owe me. So let's be clear about something else about forgiveness. If you forgive yourself, Jesus pays the price. You don't pay. Jesus pays. But if you choose to forgive someone else, think of it this way. Both Jesus and you have to pay. Both Jesus and you have to pay. You might be thinking, well, that's not fair. Well, you're right. It's not fair. Forgiveness is never fair. That's why forgiveness is so necessary. If forgiveness was fair, the people who've hurt you could pay you back. But they can't pay you back. And if you're going to forgive them, you got to absorb the cost, which means you got to pay. You got to give up the right to make them pay. And there's all kinds of ways that we think and we do this all the time. We hold on to our right to make this person pay. We make cutting remarks towards them. We drag out the past. Remember when you? Or we're more demanding. We're more controlling of them. Right? They owe us still, we reason. Or we punish them. We punish them often with the silent treatment or just simply by avoiding them and treat them as if they're less than human. Or we run them down to other people. We call it, well, we're just protecting our friends from them, but what we're really doing is gossiping and slandering their character. Or another thing we often do is we just replay the tape of what they did to us to keep it fresh, to justify our anger and our resentments. But you know what else happens when you refuse to forgive others? When you choose not to? Isn't the end of the story a bit terrifying? Jesus says, if this is how you treat one another, if you're not willing to forgive them, this is how my Father will treat you. In another place in Matthew's gospel, Jesus seems to be saying, you know, I will forgive you as you forgive other people. What's going on in this story? What's going on in these passages is that what we see is that there's a link. There's a linkage between our experience of God's forgiveness and our capacity and willingness to forgive others. And let's be clear about what that link is. Sometimes there's a lot of confusion around this. God's forgiveness is not conditional. That's not what the story is teaching. It's not like God waits for us to forgive others before he forgives us. And that's good news this morning because, let's be honest, he'd probably be waiting a long time I know he would in my case. He forgives us first. But he wants us, because we experience his forgiveness, he wants us to forgive others as well. But the way, I think, to make sense of this, and Ken's insight on this has helped me a lot, is that it's really our experience of walking in God's forgiveness, our experience of the freedom and healing that receiving God's forgiveness can bring into our life. That experience, if we're going to experience that in an ongoing way, it does depend on our willingness to forgive others. So if we go out and live our lives hard-hearted, unwilling to forgive others, we should not be surprised that our experience of God's forgiveness for us diminishes over time. But there's something else haunting about the end of the story. You know what happens to the servant unwilling to forgive his fellow servant? He's thrown into the jail, it says. And I think this is an image for us to think deeply about. What happens when you choose not to forgive someone? It's like you're thrown into a jail, into a prison. You get stuck. You get bound. You get chained. And what are you stuck? What are you bound to? What are you chained with? You become chained with bitterness towards those who've hurt you. You get stuck. You get stuck in the past. Events and memories that have wounded you so deeply. Your emotions become damaged. You make judgments about other people. You try hard to protect your heart from being hurt again. And you do that by putting over your heart this shroud of bitterness to keep yourself from being hurt again. And you go through life, and then there's triggers. Familiar people, familiar events that remind you of that hurt that you're trying to cover up in your heart. Trigger those feelings of bitterness and resentment. Even trigger the emotions of that original hurt and pain. Another lesson that God was patient to teach me. I was, again, in ministry in Ontario, and I had a colleague say to me, says, you know, I see you have pictures of your family in your office. You have pictures of your kids, your wife, your mom. I don't see a picture of your dad. Huh. I sloughed it off. That was the crack the Holy Spirit needed to begin to do a work in my heart, to invite me into a painful journey of learning to forgive my dad for the awful things he did to me and my mom. And the trouble was, my dad was dead at that point. My dad's been gone 22 years last month. But it wasn't until I learned to forgive my dad that all those triggers stopped. Because here's what started happening. I started to notice it. People reminded me of my dad, the way they looked, the mannerisms they had. It was really hard to pastor those people. I avoided them. Why? Because I hadn't dealt with my dad. I hadn't dealt with this bitterness I had in my heart towards my father, and I couldn't love well the people that reminded me of him. And it wasn't until God did that work of healing in my heart towards my dad, I learned to forgive my dad, that I was able to pastor people that look a lot like my dad. What about you? Who are people in your life that you have a hard time forgiving? And how do you break these chains? How do you break this power, this bondage to your past? How do you break it? Forgiveness is how you break it. It's how you get out of jail. And what happens when you choose to forgive? Jesus begins to heal your emotions. Jesus begins to heal your heart. Jesus helps you break free from these resentments and hurts of your past. Jesus lifts off this shroud of bitterness. And one of the things that happened, and we talk about in Freedom Session, I experienced this in my own life, is when that shroud of bitterness lifts, you finally start to experience sadness. Sadness is the appropriate response to the painful memories that you're trying to hide. Sadness frees you from being in denial about the hurt. Sadness allows you to release that pain to God. And so how do you forgive others? Again, I offer a template, a simple process from Freedom Session. Simple, I say, maybe that's not simple, but simple in its steps. Hard in actually walking it out. And before we get to this purple paper again, I'm going to just highlight that again. Remember some things I've already said. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not sweeping things under the rug. It's a choice. It's an act of the will. It's something you choose to do, even when you don't feel like it. And forgiveness is between you and God. And I found this particularly helpful and good news for me, especially when I had issues with my dad, because guess what? I can't go talk to him anymore, right? I mean, but that's true. Even if you're trying to forgive someone who's still alive, your offender plays no part in the process. It's between you and God to forgive someone else. Now, you might be saying, well, what about that other person? Well, yeah, what about that other person? Guess what? God's going to deal with them. God will deal with them in his time and in his way. And that's good news, because you and I are not qualified to do that. And forgiveness finally needs to come from the heart, which means in the same way you have to learn to feel the things that you have with yourself. If you're going to forgive another person, you need to feel the hurt, the anger, the painful memories, the damaged emotions. But here's the difference. God doesn't want you to pour that all out on yourself or on that person. God wants you to face that honestly and pour it all out on him. And that's the wonder and the beauty of the cross. That God's invitation is to take all that hurt, all that pain, and lay it down at the foot of the cross and recognize that Jesus Christ has come to bear all of that pain so that you have to, that you no longer have to do that. That you can walk in freedom. Leave it at the cross. And then again, if you follow along in the purple paper, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the people he wants you to forgive. Think especially of people who hurt you and those you resent or fear. And then write down God. I've mentioned this a number of times. I think I shared this in my testimony 2 years ago in the Freedom Session grad. If you've been in this church for a while, you know 2016, I was taken out with a bad car accident and suffered a concussion that took over 2 years to heal from. God invited me back into Freedom Session as I was recovering, and God's name was on my list. I had to deal with God. God, why'd you allow this to happen? God, why this? Why this loss is piling up? So if that resonates at all with you, please don't forget God. Many of us carry resentment towards him for the things that we think he should have done or stopped from happening. And for each person on the list, think through exactly what they did to you that caused the resentment or bitterness towards them. Try to refresh your memory. Be as specific as possible. Allow yourself to feel the hurt again. And then use these words. They're printed in the bulletin insert. Lord, I forgive. Write in the person. And I forgive them for, describe what they did or didn't do. And that made me feel, describe the painful feelings and emotions. But now, I choose to forgive the person, write in their name, and release them to your accountability. I choose to bear the consequences of their sin against me without bitterness, knowing you already paid for it on the cross. Please forgive me for how I've tried to protect my heart from being hurt again. I acknowledge that you alone are the protector of my heart, and I choose to trust you. Fill this area in my life with your Holy Spirit and heal this wound. I relinquish my perceived right to seek revenge or blame this person for any present pain in my life, and I take responsibility for my own life choices. And then there's a note at the bottom. Stay with each person until all the offenses are dealt with. So I offer this to you. If it's resonated at all, would you take it seriously? Would you spend time with God this week? Invite the Holy Spirit to show you people and memories in your life that you need to release and forgive. But let me say it again. I mentioned it halfway. I said I'd come back to it. If there's any of this that has resonated at all this morning, would you please prayerfully and seriously consider coming out to Freedom Session this year? For 7 years, we've been running the program in this church, in the community. And you've had 7 years of testimonies of changed lives. Everyone who's wearing the button this morning is one of those people. And if you've been watching, you not only heard that testimony, but you've likely seen that person's a little bit different. Are they perfect? No. That's not happening until Jesus returns. But there's a change. Something's different about them. They've done the hard work of learning to release the pain in their lives to God and the hurts and the resentments that they carry around. They've learned to take this gospel, this good news, that you are forgiven, and to preach it and massage it deep and deep into their own hearts. What's holding you back? If this is resonating at all, please come out on Wednesday night. Try it for the first 9 weeks. You might be surprised at what God invites you into and the healing that he has for you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the ministry of Freedom Session in this church and community. And we thank you for the opportunity it is, God, and we've gotten just a little window into it this morning. An opportunity to face ourselves, to face our past, to face the pain in our life, to face painful memories, to face things about us that we wish were different, and to begin to realize and recognize the ways that we function today are often shaped deeply by those things that we haven't dealt with. And so, God, I pray for everyone who's here this morning, if your spirit has already allowed any of this message to resonate, would your spirit continue to pursue and remind and prompt throughout this coming week? Would you draw anyone who's like that back on Wednesday night to hear more? God, it's not just about this program. It's the reality that this program has become a tool, a very effective tool, to allow your gospel to change our lives, that we might walk in the freedom and the healing you have for us as we learn to forgive ourselves and live at peace with who we are and who we're not. As we learn to forgive you, as we learn to forgive other people. We got a taste of it this morning, God. Would you give us a bigger taste? Would you give us a deeper experience that we would walk in the freedom and healing that you have for us? And do this, God, for your glory, for the fame of your name, that you would continue to litter this city with people, men and women, whose lives have been changed because of Jesus, because of the good news of the gospel, because they stopped and took time to reflect on their lives and invited the Holy Spirit to massage the truths of the gospel into their lives, into their stories. We want to see more people whose lives are changed. And do that work here, we pray, God, and across the city, that your kingdom would come more fully. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.